بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن علي رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ما من مسلم يعود مسلما غدوة إلا صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يمسي، وإن عاده عشية إلا صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يصبح، وكان له خليف في الجنة. رواه الترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن. علي رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates, he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that no Muslim visits another Muslim in the morning. As we mentioned, this visitation does not necessitate that it has to be a sick person. It can be meeting a person for the sake of deen, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to draw him closer to Allah ta'ala, to remind him about qabr and akhirat. Or it can be visiting a sick person or somebody, whatever, as long as it is not a worldly motivation but something to do with shariat and deen. This meeting of one Muslim, going to someone's house, finding a person, whether he's in hospital, wherever he may be, going and visiting such a person is such a loved act in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that 70,000 malaika will make salawat upon this person if he visited in the morning, then right up till the evening. Wa in aadahu ashiya, and if he made this visitation in the evening, salla alayhi 70,000 malak hatta yusbih, then until the next morning, 70,000 malaika will make salawat upon this person. This word salla yusalli is making salawat. Ulama say it is one of those verbs in the Arabic language. When you, a verb is, in other words, as we know when we learn in grammar, it means some action. It refers to some sort of activity. Now, when we look at a verb, we all look at what they call in Arabic fa'il, who is doing the activity. This is one of those verbs in the Arabic language which, depending on its fa'il, depending on who the act is being ascribed to, the meaning changes. Like we find in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Verily Allah and Allah's angels make salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you people of Iman, you also send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in that verse alone, we find this act of salawat, this verb, this fa'al, doing something, say making salawat, is attributed to three different categories of people. One, it is attributed to Allah, attributed to Allah's malaika, and attributed towards Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, people of Iman. Ulama say that depending on who the act is attributed to, the meaning changes in each instance. You and I, salawat, in other words, make durood and salawat. Malaika invoke the mercy of Allah, make dua of rahmat, ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, elevate his status, etc. Allah Ta'ala himself, inna allaha, Allah sends down mercy, Allah sends down rahmat, Allah elevates and honors Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the same word, depending on who it is being attributed to, the meaning changes. Now in this case, coming back to this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if someone visits a Muslim in the morning, till the evening 70,000 malaika send salawat, and likewise in the evening till the next morning. So ulama say, istaghfaru lahu wa da'u lahu bi anwa'ir rahmah. What does it mean in the case of the malaika? They ask Allah for the forgiveness of this person. So look, such a great virtue. For the whole day, 70,000 malaika on your behalf will be making dua to Allah that Allah make your maghfirat. that Allah Ta'ala forgive you. And ask Allah to send down His rahmat, His mercy, to make you the recipient of His mercy and His compassion and His kindness and His forgiveness. 70,000 malaika for the entire day. If one mulaqat takes place in the morning, and 70,000 malaika for the entire night, if one mulaqat takes place in the evening. This word, as we mentioned, ghudwa ma baina salati subhi wa tulu'i shams, technically means the time between fajr salah and the rising of the sun, but it refers to the morning. And likewise, the word in the hadith, yumsi ashiya, refers to the evening. Not only that, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَكَانَ لَهُ خَرِيفٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and Allah Ta'ala will apportion for him the special fruits of Jannah. Kharif actually could refer to a garden of Jannah. He will be in a garden of Jannah, but literally, technically, the word Kharif in this context, أَثَّمَرُ الْمَخْرُوفِ أَيْ الْمُجْتَنَى, in other words, the chosen and the select and the choice fruits of Jannah, he will be the recipient and enjoying it for that entire day when he will meet somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other benefits, ulama ikram mentioned, when particularly you visit a sick person, as we see from the other ahadith, that a sick person enjoys a special closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person becomes conscious, naturally, when you become conscious of your mortality, of your weakness, of the challenges that you are facing, then automatically an element of humility comes in the heart. And you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when you are sick, it's much easier to make dua. And there's much more jaan and life in that dua. So a sick person enjoys a special closeness to Allah Ta'ala, and by you going to visit him, you will become a recipient of that closeness. Allah is with the one who is going through hardship and difficulty. He is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by going to visit him, ask him for his du'as. Ask him so that you can also benefit from that qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is enjoying. Famous incident, it's mentioned in the Israeli riwayat. We know of that Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Ayyub alayhi salam, was tested. Different narrations, they are there. Some say up to 18 years, Allah Ta'ala tested him with bimari, with sickness. Someone asked him, according to one narration, after the sickness, that Ayyub alayhi salam asked him, that Ayyub, do you remember the days of your sickness? To this he responded, he said that I prefer those days over the days of my health. So they asked him that, why is it? How is it you are going through such challenging circumstances, such hardship, such difficulty, that your sickness was darbul mathal, that become a parable, an example of way someone was tested. So he responded that each day during my sickness, Allah Ta'ala would directly ask me that, Ayyub, how are you? And he said that the kashish, the sweetness, the ecstasy that I experienced in that special closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes me to prefer the days of my illness over the days of my health. So we find that a sick person automatically enjoys a very, very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we find that we are warned and we are cautioned that don't throw that away, that great opportunity Allah Ta'ala is giving you. When a person goes through some sickness, we don't ask for it, but if it comes, don't throw the opportunity away by uttering things we should not say. Why me? How I'm suffering so much, etc. These are very, very dangerous things. And these are the things that, instead of taking us closer to Allah Ta'ala, will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, conduct during one's test or trial or tribulation that goes against the usul and the principles of Shariat, we have to be very, very careful about, because instead of that trial and tribulation taking us closer to Allah Ta'ala, it will in fact take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are not careful. Another great benefit, Ulama Ikram mentioned about visitation of the sick, is that when a person becomes conscious of his mortality, of the challenges that are facing him, of hardship, of difficulty, then he remembers maut. He remembers death. He remembers qabr and akhirat. He is reminded to prepare for qabr and akhirat. So visiting the sick, seeing the hardship, seeing what they are going through, will remind you and I also of the shortness of the life of this world. Mentioned about Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, that he was unconscious just prior to passing away. Someone had given him poison. So when the Hakim came into the room of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, his eyes were closed. So he said to the family, whoever was present, that listen, this person has been given poison, he's been poisoned. And the poison has taken effect. So there's no real hope we can have for any life. To that, when Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this fell on his ears, he opened his eyes and he said to those that were present, that just as I who have received poison, you have made this pronouncement that there's no real hope or expectations of life that I should enjoy, in the same way someone who hasn't received poison also should have the same mindset. Because that is the nature of the life in this world. We didn't come to live, we came to die. Unfortunately, the ghaman and the attraction and the lights of this world and the way we run behind the dunya causes us to forget this. So when you see some, visit the sick, visit the graveyard, visit people that are going through some hardship, then you are reminded that cloud that has overtaken your thinking of the glitter and glamour and lights of this world, it dissipates to some extent and you become reminded, fikr of akhirat, consciousness of akhirat. This is why we are encouraged on a daily basis, this muzakara of akhirat, talk about qabr, talk about akhirat, remind ourselves about maut. One sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. Give me some advice. So the mafhum of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that live every day as if it, every salah that you perform, regard it as your last salah. Now this is something you and I have to ask ourselves, that how many of us actually do that? Take that 1 minute, or take that 30 seconds even. We read Fajr Salah now and actively ask ourselves this question. There is a very real possibility, and not you and I also. There are thousands of people in the world that at some point have read a last Salah, have had a last meal, have seen their last sunrise, have left their house for the last time. It's not a unique occurrence. It's something that's happening all the time. At any given day, that could be the last day. So this is the advice that Rasulullah ﷺ gave. Consider it your last. In other words, become conscious of the fact that the objective of this life is to prepare for akhirat. So it is acts like this, visiting the sick, reminding people about qabr and akhirat, visiting the graveyard, etc., Iyadatul Mareed, Iyadatul Mareed, visiting the sick, Tashi'il Mayyit, following the janazah. We are encouraged, on the one hand, to be a source of benefit to others. On the other hand, this is what engenders fikre akhirat, tadhakkur of akhirat. It remembers, it engenders the concern for akhirat, reminder for akhirat, which is absolutely essential and important. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.